You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC has been open for around about 35 minutes, so it's time for the opening with Nick Kunze from Sandton Private Wealth in Johannesburg. You're in the Southern Hemisphere, and you've got a beautiful sun blazing away there in Johannesburg, I'm sure. But in Northern Europe, it's officially the saddest or most depressing day of the year. They call it Blue Monday, third Monday of January every single year is where most people decide, well, I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm going to go and look for a new job or start a new business or leave their partners or something like that. So please bear with me.
No, I will do. Well, maybe the movements in the markets can cheer you up a little bit. Not too much great excitement, but the JSE had a good it's up slightly this morning. It's only up 50 points, but that's following on for quite a cracker of a week we had last week on the JSE. I mean, the gains, yes. 3.28%. I mean, we're up 3.97% for the month. JSE had its sixth consecutive session on gains on Friday, and a little sniff higher this morning makes it seven in a row. So maybe that'll cheer you up a bit, Lindsay.
It certainly does. It really does, because we've had a torrid time and suddenly we are starting to follow the international markets. Not to the extent that we should. It's not an exact correlation, but at least it's a little bit better. What have we got this morning? All I've got is a trading update, I think it is, from Into Properties. The share price up quite smartly in early dealings, I think.
Yeah, so I saw that coming out. I mean, basically, they've also talking about a torrid time. I mean, they've had a terrible time. I mean, I think they're down 30-odd% year to date. But yes, trading update certainly implying that they're going to sell off, usual story. They're going to sell off some assets. They're going to try to recover some of their debt. And I think they need to, because that's certainly one of the biggest laggers on the JSE this year. I think down 30-odd% year to date. So yes. Yeah, typically well received. At least they're addressing their balance sheet, and they're going to need to get some confidence back from shareholders.
Rand behaving itself as normal. It's 14.46 against the dollar. It's 18.83 against the British pound and 16.05 against the euro, with the euro dollar broken 1.11. It's come out of its recent range to the tune of 10 basis points or something. It's 1.1090, the euro dollar. What else have I got here? Let's go straight to commodities, because commodities, gold 15.61. Gold in dollars 15.61, which is good. It's about $10 higher than we saw at some stage on Thursday and Friday. The platinum price is 10.23, which is up 19 again. And I have to ask you, palladium, because I saw your tweet this morning about palladium. And also, it's even on the BBC why palladium is going so high. If you go to bbc.co.uk, you'll see a palladium story there as well. So it's really capturing the attention. Tell me about your tweet.
Okay, so, I mean, palladium, I did a lot of homework on it, because the moves on Friday, even while we were speaking on the Friday session, I mean, it was literally ticking up like a speedometer, you know, literally a percent every 2 minutes ticking higher and breaking 2,500 and up 10% in the day. So I did a little bit of homework on the weekend and trying to find out what's going on. There's been quite a bit of research done. It's also, as you said, catching everyone's attention. So, I mean, it appears to be and a lot more easier to understand than trying to analyze a company. I mean, this is just classic supply and demand. There is a massive shortfall of palladium. You can't just go and find palladium in the ground and dig it out. It is a byproduct of platinum. Interestingly enough, quite a bit of work done as well on the palladium ETF. So this is obviously an exchange-traded fund, and the buyers of this ETF are getting less and less and less. And in fact, there's been four times less interest in a palladium ETF than it was a few years ago. So the spot price has been shooting higher. The average man on the street, the retailers, have been selling it, not interested in it. And you have I won't go into too much detail, but you have what you call backwardation, which implies a classic, basically a shortfall, Lindsay. And I wouldn't be surprised to see this thing go a lot higher. I guess the next question is at what point does platinum start to play catch up? Because it looks a little bit of a lag compared to what palladium has done.
Yes, indeed. It's all to do with switching from one metal to the other, which takes a while. I mean, it's all very well in theory, and people may start adjusting their portfolio of precious metal purchases in anticipation of that happening, but it does take a while for the car manufacturers, or rather the catalytic converter manufacturers, to do the switch. But, you know, the market anticipates that. Anyway, the BBC article is interesting because it's an idiot's guide to the metal palladium. It says the price is more precious than gold. That's the headline. It's jumped by more than 25% in the last 2 weeks alone and almost doubled in value over the last year at about $2,500 an ounce. It's more expensive than gold. gold, and the pressures forcing its price up are unlikely to ease anytime soon. What is it used for? Well, we know what it's used for, but then they said they give the why is the price rising? I just want to read this to you. In short, it is because demand for palladium outstrips supply, exactly what you said, and it has done so for some time. Simple as that. There's not enough of it.
Yeah, and you know, commodity trading, speculation, call it what you want, is often a lot easier to understand than trying to read someone's balance sheet. And it is exactly that, a classic supply and demand. I will add this little caveat, Lindsay. You know, when you start seeing things like this make the front pages of the BBC, it normally means it's probably near the top. I see Barron's last week on Thursday. Barron's, being the American sort of financial newspaper, comes out once a week. Their headline on their front page is Dow 30,000. So I rest my case.
Okie dokie. Talking about the Dow. talking about the Dow last night. Give us the palladium price, if you would.
Okay, new high as we speak, $2,515 an ounce, now up $33 at 1.34%.
66.01 is the Brent crude oil price, which is 39 cents per barrel higher. And going to the States on Friday, another all-time record closing high for the Dow, 29,348, which is up 50 points or 0.2%. S&P up 0.4%. All-time record high there, 33.30 almost. And the NASDAQ up a third of a percent to 9,400 almost. Another record closing high just doesn't stop. And every time there's a talk of a bubble, nothing happens. It's relentless, Nick.
It is relentless. I mean, it literally week after week after week. I mean, a lot of it attributed to the Fed Reserve pumping liquidity and through their repo market at 60, 70, 80 billion every single day. It's starting to get almost a little bit farcical, to be quite honest. But in the meantime, a lack of any sort of impetus to, you know, so it's basically, if you actually look at what the price action has done in these US markets, and sometimes you've actually just got to look at the price. On the down days, you know, on the days of the Middle East, on Mr. Trump tweeting, on something which typically in the past would have sold it off, the market is just bouncing back and rallying. So until there's a substantial change in the sort of sentiment, the certainly the trend is to the upside for now. But yeah, let's see how it goes. I mean, we've got a busy week, Lindsay. We've got obviously today the U.S. shut with Martin Luther King Day. But tomorrow we've got Trump impeachment trial gets on the way, whatever that's going to bring. We've got Davos kicking off. Everyone running around, all the billionaires running around in the snow with Greta, I believe, is going to be there too.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, earnings season. A lot of big numbers coming out this week. American Express, Intel. I see Anglo-American, they're reporting this week too. So it actually quite a chocker week. Today, obviously, being with the U.S. shut. But the rest of the week is plenty to talk about.
Very good. Plenty to talk about this morning as well. And I know you're a pretty sharp young fellow. See if you can spot the trend on the top five major moves to the upside. Number one, Sibanye, 40 Rand 70, up 3.8%. Impala Platinum, up nearly 3%. Anglo-American Platinum, up 2 1/3. African Rainbow Minerals, up 1 3/4. And Exxaro, up 1 2/3%. I can spot the trend, can you, Nick?
Yeah, the stuff that comes out the ground, as you say, Lindsay, it doesn't stop. And quite frankly, you know, and this is off the back of a dollar that's hardly budged. In fact, the dollar's been firmer against the crosses. The dollar index is actually going up, what they call the Dixie.
Yes.
So, I mean, heaven forbid this dollar starts to weaken. These guys are going to get another leg up. So it really is. It's the real money. I mean, this is a move up on genuine buying, genuine supply constraints, call it what you want. This is not even on the back of a weaker dollar. So you've got to say for now, enjoy it while it lasts, because it certainly is no reason to sell these shares if you hold them just yet.
But someone has found a reason to sell Motus this morning, which is 2.2% weaker. Telkom down 2% after a really cracking good week last week. Quilter 1.3% down. The JSE Limited down 1 1/4%, despite a couple of plus 20 billion value traded days last week. And Capitec is a 1% loser. Anything there, Nick?
No, to pick up a story of Telkom, you and I have spoken about it quite frequently. I see a bit of sort of rumors doing the rounds on the trader network this morning about possibly, in line with SAA. And you have to say, what is a telecommunications company going to do with an airline? Well, they're both state-owned, and Mr. Ramaphosa hinting apparently on this over the weekend that they're going to sell some of the government assets that they own or they have big exposure to, and Telkom being muted. But I mean, you would have to say it is the worst time to get out of the stock at the moment, down 70% from its highs. But that is the speculation that it's one of the sort of what the government holds in listed shares on the chopping block. So for what it's worth, there it is. That's maybe why it's down 2% and a bit this morning.
Okay. Any economic data coming out from South Africa this week? We've had a flurry of it in the first three weeks.
Yes. Well, actually, I mean, the flurry continues. Obviously, hot on the heels of the Reserve Bank surprise cut, we have the Reserve Bank's leading business indicator that's due out tomorrow. That particular gauge gives an indication of the direction of the SA business cycle from the next sort of 6 to 12 months. It has been declining, so we're looking for a pop-up in that. And then the big one Wednesday, actually, made one of the sort of Reuters headlines that this Wednesday we have the South African CPI number. Mm. And that was spoken about in quite in depth from Mr. Kanyako on the Reserve Bank about how inflation was nowhere to be seen. The last inflation number was actually 3.6 back in November. That was the lowest since, goodness me, I think about a decade. So that's quite a key one to watch on Wednesday. And that's the local stuff. So that's what's coming up. And obviously, as I said, we've got US earnings in Davos this week too. But yeah, quite a busy diary, guys. Quite a busy diary.
Okay, very good. Just give us the JSE indices after 45 minutes of trading, please.
After 45 minutes of trading, we're just holding on a sniff into the green. So the all share holding at 59,000 level, 59,054. It's up 50 points on the day. And the top 40 up 31 points, it's quarter unchanged, 52,768. And drilling down, basic materials, as you pointed out, really the miners leading us higher. Energy shares also getting a little bit of a bounce. But on the downside, consumer cyclicals down 0.1, telecommunications down, that'll be your telecom. And banks also really not doing much. Financials down 0.18% on this Monday morning.
Nick, thank you very much for your analysis this morning. That's Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth in Johannesburg. He'll be back with me on the 5 o'clock shadow just after 5. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.